We are so back on a Tuesday Stripe Show podcast. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. It's a Tuesday. You know what that means? We look ahead. It's the playoffs, and our man is on the road. And this is going to be, I have a feeling, this is going to be bigger than the interview last night between Donald Trump and Elon Musk on Twitter. We are going to crack that 2 million. I think it was like over 2 million or something that were on there at one point. Amazing. But my man, he's on site. Keith Stewart coming at us from Memphis, and he's got a jacket on. What in the hell is going on?
Oh, man. It's like 8,000 degrees outside. So, of course, the air conditioning inside is like 40 below. I know people get really critical of the PGA Tour in many aspects, and most of it's deserving, but they never fail on air conditioning in any media center. Let me tell you something. I mean, if you don't pack for like, I know Colorado's next week, but man, if you don't pack for the inside of the media center, oh man, like when I'm talking to Bob Herring or Rex Hoggard and those guys, are always all wearing sweaters or something. You know, I went jacket to try to take it off quick, right? Because you go outside and you lose like 5 pounds just walking to the first tee.
It is so hot here in the Southeast right now. And the only place that might be hotter is Memphis, because I've been there, okay, during the summer. TPC Southwind, back in the old PGA Tour Academy days when we were traveling around in TPC, and this was a good spot for us. I mean, these people like their golf there.
Oh yeah.
And of course it's the home of FedEx, and they are the title sponsor of the playoffs, and they've been a great sponsor of the PGA Tour. So everybody gathers there for the first leg of the playoffs. It used to not be like that. I mean, of course, this tournament used to stand on its own, and all the great work that they do for St. Jude. But I've always been a big fan of TPC Southwind as a golf course.
Right.
You know, it's a place that you're not gonna overpower this thing. Par 70. You better be able to position your ball in the fairway, because that Bermuda rough can be difficult. You better have your approach game ready to go. The short game, you might be able to push down a little bit, but you got those fast, firm Bermuda greens. I mean, we're looking at 15 under. The last two winners, Lucas Glover, of course, last year, and Will Zalatoris the year before that, both of those guys were 15 under. So this is both in a playoff. This is a really good golf course. And I was glad that Southwind got pushed kind of, you know, out front here as the first leg of the playoffs. I know it's hot, but it is a good course. You've seen it. Let our audience know what this place favors, what kind of player.
I think that throughout the research, and we'll talk about this as the day goes on, we're going to be favoring approach shots between 125 and 200, because two-thirds of them are coming from that range, and so on and so forth. I think the two biggest takeaways you get once you're on property is that, number one, is that the greens are really flat. And if you look historically at who wins here, they're not the greatest putters. Lucas Glover, Will Zalatoris, JT, Brooks Koepka, DJ, Berger, you know, like, yeah, these guys, they've had great careers, but like, they aren't the types of guys that we feel like filled up the hole, right? So that's the first thing that I think that people can pay attention to. And the second thing is that more so than a lot of courses out on the PGA Tour, the disparity in your ability to control trajectory, spin, length between the rough and the fairway the beta between those two here is maybe wider than it is at any other place. And the reason I say that is that you get in this Bermuda rough here, and we were talking about this right before we came on. You said, what's the rough like? The Bermuda rough, it just looks like it's just like so uniform, which is the worst kind of Bermuda you want to see. Cause that means that when the ball gets out there, it just drops right to the bottom and you've got no chance of controlling any of those things I mentioned before. Now, conversely, you hit the fairway and you are on that Zoysia, you might as well think about your favorite mat you've ever hit off balls on at a practice range in your entire life. And imagine that's in your pocket. You just lay it down on the ground, you put the ball on it. The ball sits up so perfectly. And the disparity between those two types of lies put such a premium on the fairway hitters here. That's the one thing. Like, yeah, I know it. You need approach, but in order to take advantage of those approach shots, if you're striking it well with your irons right now, man, you've got to get in that Zoysia grass fairways. You've got to see that ball sitting up, and you're going to hit a lot of close shots, and you can make putts here. You get in that rough, and it's going to be rough.
You know, when I remember when I was there, and that's why, the reason why I asked you right away is, what's the rough like that? Because I've seen it like that, you know, where it's cut like that and it goes to the bottom. And the first thing that it reminded me of back in the day was how TPC Sawgrass used to be, because that's how Sawgrass used to be. It used to sit. It would go in there and sit down at the bottom, and you would have some gnarly lies. So, yeah, the premium here on accuracy off the tee, which I like. First leg of the playoffs, that's why I thought this place would be good. You've got to get the ball in the fairway. Let's not just let them go up there and bomb it and then go find it and hack it out. So I'm happy to hear that the rough is up. It sounds like they've got the course where they want it. I mean, you know, like last week was it was just brutal with the weather. And look, props to Sedgefield. I have no idea how they got that place ready to go. I mean, that was one of the most impressive things I have ever seen, with that amount of water. And for them to get it done, and I wish I could say they got it in by late on a Sunday, but they didn't. Matt Kuchar said, look, we are coming back on Monday morning and finishing. But anyway,
I need six more minutes.
I can't believe it, because Kuch, you know, is on a red eye back to Coeur d'Alene and his place in Gozer. You know, that's where he's going to be hanging out for the next probably 6 weeks. So I don't know what the hell he was thinking, but anyway, that's neither here or there. But how'd they get it in? I mean, seriously, all that water, and they get it in. I mean, that's one of the more impressive things. But this course this week, it sounds like they have it right where they want it.
You know, it looks that way. All of the guys so far that I've seen in and around, and you know, we're gonna hear more press conferences today and tomorrow, but everyone's been very complimentary of the golf course and the condition. It's like your focus instantly, once you step outside, goes to the heat and the oppressive nature of the heat. And we all remember the playoff last year with, like, or that final round with was Lucas Glover gonna make it through that whole day? I mean, he looked like he lost 10 pounds just in his pants. You know, it was like unbelievable. So I think that a lot of the guys, their attention or their focus is really on fitness and fatigue and those factors, more so than, you know, if they're playing good golf, they're ball striking it well, here we go, you know. And, you know, I start, you know, every week begins with one conversation: too Scotty or not too Scotty, right? And it's like, okay, if you're going to fade him and not bet him, and, you know, the number's going to be right around 3.5 to 1 or something like that against a very elite field. Like, how do you justify not betting Scotty in any event anywhere on the planet right now, especially after what we've seen? I mean, he's had two of his best three approach weeks at the Olympics and Troon, and the other one was Memorial. But, like, he's had two of his best three in the last two times he's teed it up. And you need to be a good approach player. Not only that, but you need to be a good, like, short iron middle approach player here, where the guy's going to hit it to, like, inside 10 feet all day long. But what's interesting to me, in six trips here, he has no top tens. And as we're talking about the rough, one of the things that gets me, one, Bermuda grass putting seems to never be his strength. But the other thing is that, remember how much he complained at Pinehurst about the wire grass and the unpredictability of the ball coming out of the rough?
Yeah.
Scotty likes predictability. And this place, if you miss the fairway, which he doesn't do a lot, but when he does, he's going to get some unpredictable stuff. It'll be interesting to see if it frustrates him or not, you know, because to Scotty or not to Scotty, right, this week?
Well, let's go to – so we'll get to our first click here in a minute. But let's – now that you bring up Scotty, let's go to the top of the board. I mean, so it sounds like – if I said to you Scotty or the rest of the field, you're taking the rest of the field.
I am.
Okay. If I said to you Scotty and Xander – versus the rest of the field.
Oh, man.
See, I knew I'd get you thinking right out of the gate here.
We're not even 10 minutes in and you're already making me sigh.
I already got you thinking.
Yeah.
That's an interesting one, right?
Here's the thing. I've been hot lately, right? Like, scintillating, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we had Lydia Ko this weekend and Aaron Rye again. So another double winner weekend, second time in 3 weeks.
Back to back.
I'm going to say neither. Yeah. Two times in 3 weeks, but
okay.
Neither guy to get to your question, I'm going to go with the field, and here's my rationale why. Xander's been here 7 times. Scotty 6. Neither one has a top 10. I'm going to hang up and listen. Right? Like, why? Right?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go with the field. Now, we fast forward to next week where no one knows how long they're hitting it, and it's 8,000 yards and everything. Give me Scotty at a single bullet, probably. But, like, right now at a place where it seems like, I don't know, like, maybe the world has, like, you know, Jim Carrey, so you're saying we have a chance type of thing? I don't know.
It's really interesting. Like, and you build this model around, okay, hitting the fairway. Those metrics that you mentioned, 125 to 200, there's a lot of putts from 5 to 10 feet here. I noticed more so than on average and less 0 to 5, which is kind of interesting. And from there, hold on 1 second here. There we go. Let's pop back up. You look at, you know, some of the other metrics like, strokes gained par 4.
Yeah.
And
12 of them.
What's that?
Dude, we got 12 of them.
12 of them here. Yep.
12 vanilla par fours.
Yep.
Right? Nothing special about them. There's no super long ones. There's no super short ones. It's just put it in play, put it on the green.
Yeah. And all these guys, you know, Scotty, Xander, you run these metrics, 24 rounds, 37. Here they are, 1 and 2, right? I mean, they just – obviously, they just dominate. Now, and but yet they come here. They come here, and it's – like you said, no top 10, which is really interesting. Scotty and Xander, because obviously they're the class, and no top 10s at this place.
Yeah. So you're usually use Fantasy National, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So do me a favor, filter for Bermuda and see where Scotty and Xander drop to.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Because that is a factor. This is champion Bermuda. This is the worst kind of Bermuda. This is a weed. This is a Brillo pad that you're hitting out of. And it's super grainy on the greens, and as hot and as humid as it is, the golf course will be in great shape, but it's still a Bermuda golf course, right? So where do those guys drop to? And then I want you to throw one more filter on there. And you know I always beat the drum on this, is that this is a par 70 golf course. And if you rank the guys for par 70 scoring and you hit that filter too, those guys – Xander won't drop as much, but Scotty drops a little bit. And this is a guy who has 7 wins this year. But if you're looking for a way to try to fade Scotty this week and try to find a little value on the betting board, hey, man, the guy could win by 10. You know, I've been wrong before. So slam me on Twitter. But the point is that, like, if you're looking for a window, there's more of a window here than there is at other places. And it's been proven because the guys don't have top 10s.
Yeah. All right. Good conversation there. Top of the board. Let's get to our something we call the first clip. My man, take the floor.
All right, let me get my mouse here. Find the right spot. I'm going with click. The Iceman is going to cool down.
Oh boy.
Patrick Cantlay plus 2,500.
All right. Wow.
That's right.
That's a little surprising to me that you're going Cantlay here at 25. He's at 25 to 1.
25 to 1. Mm-hmm. He has been very sharp with his iron play as of late. Gained over 6 strokes at Royal Troon with his approach play. If there's ever been a guy who's good on mundane golf courses where you need to be positional, just put it in play, put it on the green, make some putts. He's been gaining with the putter lately, like 4 straight. I really like the direction that his game is going. I feel like he's extremely motivated by what Xander has done, and he's done nothing other than a couple of very comfortable top 5, top 10s this year on courses where, you know, we feel like Patrick Cantlay should always win, like a Riviera or Heritage or something like that. So I feel for all of those reasons and one more, right? He's obviously good at this golf course, lost last year at a playoff here, but the guy has 3 playoff wins. This has been a good time of year for Patrick Cantlay.
Mm.
When the money's on the table, does it surprise you that Patrick elevates his game? Now, way before there were signature events, this was the time of year this guy was winning. And I feel like for all the aforementioned reasons, I'm going to take a chance there because I'm not betting somebody at single digits. Morikawa might be there with as much talk around him by the end of the week. He might be single digits too. He's already down to like 11, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love the kid, but the kid's been struggling with his driver a little bit in his last couple outings. So I'm going to go mid 20s.
The kid being Ludwig.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I took a hard look at Ludwig, and the driver does seem to be a little of a question mark right now, which ironically was what was struggling there for Cantlay for a while. But it does seem Cantlay is now starting to hit on all cylinders of the game. He was 25th at the Open, but the driver seems to be ironed out. Let me give you some head-to-heads here at the top of the board. First off, how motivated is Rory this week? I mean, Rory, it doesn't seem like this course is like carbon copy for Rory, is it? I mean, this isn't his place.
I mean, he's been good here.
I know, it seems like, I don't know. I mean, is he looking ahead next week, maybe?
Next week.
900-yard drive.
It's 2.5% for every 1,000 feet. So we're going to go to a mile up. It's going to be 10% on his driver. It carries at 315. So he's going to hit it 350 in the air.
Wow.
I mean, if that's the case, your 7-iron, if it goes 200, right, now goes like 225 in the air. So I think wedge play will be important next week.
Yeah.
I mean, insanely. Anyway, I think Rory is, I mean, he was motivated at Paris. I mean, look what he did. He gained 11 strokes ball striking. Now, half that field couldn't play, but even if you cut that number in half and just say he gained 6.5 or 6 ball striking, I mean, between approach and off the tee, it's still a good week. You gain over 3 strokes on average in both of those categories in the same week. I mean, you're playing some really good golf.
Yeah. I think for me, as we look up here, and of course, you know, I really want to get on Ludwig, but I'm just for the same reasons that you brought up, I'm not going to. I'm still a little hungover from Morikawa at the Olympics. I thought that would be a good spot for him. Obviously, he's been having a good year. Is Fleetwood going to win? Make some good points on Cantlay. I think for me, I'll go all the way down, and I think Russell Henley is a good spot for him. You know, I've sprinkled some on Mr. Henley at 35-1 right now. And you look at the last 36 rounds. I mean, obviously his approach game is very good. He lives in the fairway. I think his putting checks out here. He handles, the par fours exceptionally well. I'm going to go Russell Henley here to do just enough 15 under, 16 under. I like that number at, where is it right now? It's at 35 right now. I got it a little better than that. I'm going a little on the Georgia Bulldog. He knows a thing or two about playing on Bermuda.
All right. Well, you're the host.
You don't like that, do you?
You have your choice to mute me or not for the next thing I'm going to say, but
hey, go ahead.
He's had 6 trips here. He's had 3 missed cuts. And one of the made cuts was last year when there was no cut.
But here's my approach.
Yeah.
I've come into this looking at it like I would historically, and it spit out a couple. I'm like, nope, I'm not betting them. So I'm going a different way. So this week I'm going a different way. I've changed it up, and I'm going with Henley.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Russell
Lucas
Henley.
Lucas Glover won here 80-1.
Yeah, I mean, Russell Henley has the skill set to do it. He's proven it, right? But he's never won an elite event. I mean, we saw what happened to Max last week at the Wyndham. Yeah, I'm sure he got one bad break off the cart path. But, man, it is hard to win on the PGA Tour. All I'm asking myself, if I'm picking someone to win this week, is that if they're in the final group with Scotty or Xander, can they handle that?
Yeah.
Can they handle it? And when I look at guys right around Russell Henley, right, and you go, all right, so at that 35 range, you've got like Sungjae, Corey Connors, Tony Finau, Tom Kim.
Sungjae right? hasn't won.
I would say Sungjae would fail that test. I would say Tony Finau has a slight chance, and I would give Tom Kim a slight chance to go against Xander or Scotty at the height of their power right now and take them down on a Sunday. And I just wonder, you know, everyone's getting just romanticized by Russell Henley coming in, seventh at Pinehurst and fifth at Troon or vice versa, whatever it was, right? Like, but at the end of the day, like, he won at Mayakoba. You know, that's like winning at Wyndham, you know, when you're hunting down Billy Horschel or something like fifth, that.
Fifth at the Open.
I wonder, can Russell Henley win an elite event? Yeah. We're betting to win. I mean, if you want top 10 and got a good number on Russell Henley, I'm like, man, I'll keep slapping the mouse as much as you want me to. But like, when we're talking about winning, like this week, staring down Scotty on a Sunday when he just keeps doing his thing, man. I mean, no one else has been able to do it this year.
Well, but how many have? I mean, it's just, I mean, you got Xander. I mean, so we're just going to live at the top of the board. Okay, Rory, 11-1. Morikawa, no, though, can win a like big I said, event. So you have to come down. You have to come down and ask yourself, all right, Ludwig, yeah, I think he's the class. The driver scares me. Fleetwood, he's not going to win it. He's not winning a PGA Tour event. I mean.
Well, I mean, he won a silver medal. And where was Colin at the Olympics? But
what does that pay out for first place? Silver medals. Does that pay out?
It doesn't. But like,
I mean, it's
tough. I would give Tommy Fleetwood a fighting chance on a Sunday versus Scotty because of his Ryder Cup experience and because of the silver medal and a bunch of other things. And he'll probably still lose, but I think he'd have a better fighting chance than Russell Henley. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying Russell Henley's a bad bet. I'm just saying that, like, that's the way I see it. That's the way I look at it.
I mean, Hideki can stare him down and get hot.
Oh, sure.
Hideki, 66 at the Open, missed a cut at the Genesis, but was playing very good up to that point. So, which Hideki are we going to get?
Probably the one that withdraws on Thursday morning.
Probably.
He's like, wait, I don't need to play this week, and I can play next week. I'll see you.
Hideki's had a sneaky good year, right? I mean, he had the one. Oh, yeah. He did have the win at the Genesis, and you know he's had a number of top tens there for sure. So he's the last 2 weeks not so good. Putting kind of went away. Lost 4.8 at Genesis. I don't know what he ended up losing at the Open.
You're not looking at the Olympics though. I mean, the guy just came in third on Le Golf National.
Yeah, he came in third at golf. So which one are we gonna get?
I mean,
we don't know.
He's been pretty good. Yeah.
So you're telling me you'd take Hideki over Henley?
Oh yeah.
Would you take Victor Hovland over Henley?
No. Neither has a chance of winning. And if I had a head-to-head, I bet Henley would be favored in Vegas.
I mean, it's amazing, really. What a difference a year makes. Hovland at this time last year wins the last two events. Short game, no longer a problem. What's the guy do afterwards? Switches coaches, changes everything up. Just like, unbelievable to me. Unbelievable to me to see where he is now.
Stuff to right fathom. Now.
It really is.
I think he's
outside
the only
looking in too. Outside looking in right now. Oh, top 50.
He's done. He's not making it. I mean, he would have to top five or something just to. I mean, like everybody talks about the volatility of the playoffs. Last year, from 70 to 50, only two guys made it over. One was your boy, Cam Davis, right? He came in like 60 or something. You know, like. There's just not that much. There's not going to be that much movement. And where Hovland is, he's got to do something great. I mean, Spieth's up in the 60s. He's toast. He's done. Unless he wins the thing.
Yeah.
And what are the chances of that with 11 holes of water in play? You know, like, I mean, the guy can make the cut at Wyndham.
Top 50 go on. So there's 70 here. Top 50 go on. And Spieth is 62 and Hovland is 55. You go up to 51, Patrick Rogers, Justin Rose is 52. There's Aaron Rye, moved all the way up 28 spots to 53. Nick Taylor right now just inside at 50. Austin Eckroat had a good week, moved up 8 spots to 49. Keegan moved up 4. He's all the way up to 43 for those counting. So, yeah, there you go. Cam Young, good week last week, up 4 to 35. He's going to try to get into that top 30. And I remember they go to Castle Pines next week out in Colorado and then down in Atlanta for the top 30. All right. And there's Fleetwood right now currently at 30th. Now, Justin Thomas is one here. He's at 45. This is a guy that lost 1.9 strokes putting in one. This was before it was a playoff, but it was the WGC.
Sure.
So
elite event.
JT has got himself around this course before. Are we ready to maybe take a number on JT at 45 and rekindle some things?
100%.
All right.
Yep. Wrote about him yesterday in Golf Digest. He was my, we do an article on Monday called The Odds Drop, and myself and a couple of the other experts, we do a video and an article. We talk about our best and our worst value on the board. And for me, the best value for me at 50-1, he opened at 50-1. Now he's down to 40 already. So I'm not the only one that was thinking this, but JT on a golf course where he's comfortable. And if you put him back on Zoysia grass fairways earlier this year, he was eighth at the PGA, right? He's from around here. It's a place he's won. He doesn't have to use driver everywhere, which is a big key for JT. Put the ball in play. The guy is an incredible, incredible short iron player. And, you know, if you don't need to putt great, Bermuda grass, he's good. Par 70 scoring. JT has always been fantastic. I grabbed him on Monday at 50. He's already down to 40. I think that there is an opportunity there. Again, I think that JT having – if you said, I'd put him in that Hideki zone and not a Fleetwood or a Finau, which would be a stage below that. I think JT could stare down Scotty on a Sunday and pull it off.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know? JT has the –
and that's why when he's at 50 and, you know, Henley or Im are at 40 underneath him, I'm like, man, that seems like a lot of value on JT. And JT's had a very roller coaster year. But when he's on golf courses where he likes them, he's played really good. He's top 10. Mm-hmm. And when he's on golf course where he's uncomfortable, oh, we know what the results are. But this guy a year ago wasn't even in the playoffs. And he's got a lot to prove. And he's comfortably positioned in the top 30. So, I mean, this guy can – he's not worried about 70 to 50 or anything like that.
Yeah, he can free will it.
Oh, yeah, full steam ahead.
And well, so can Sahith. I mean, Sahith is in the top 10 right now, and he's right there at 45. So he can free will it.
Yeah.
He can prove his driver.
Yeah, I know, but the – his play since all of those top fives in signature events earlier, like in Q1 and then like up to the PGA, like his ball striking and everything has kind of dipped off. And his trend for me would be going in the wrong direction, where like Cantley's trend is going in the right direction. And so I'd be a little concerned about Sahith. But, I mean, to each his own.
And then Cameron Young's right there too. I mean, gosh, I mean, here's a guy that just,
oh, don't go there.
If he could just get his putter, his head above the water a little bit, he would be,
it's more than
I mean,
look
driving,
at Wyndham on Sunday.
Oh. Yeah. His driving's elite. His iron game, I think, is trending the right direction. His short game is just fine. And the putter's just, you know, I mean, it's kind of Corey Connors here all of a sudden, isn't it? Like, great ball striking, better short game. But putter just chilly. I mean, chilly. Does it wake up? Now, wait a minute. Let's go back to what you said earlier. Lucas Glover, Wills Altors, two guys that are not historically great putters, but can flush it. I mean, could this just be the third in a row that we get a guy that, you know, Cam Young.
No. I mean, did you watch Sunday at Wyndham at all? Because we bet him last week, or I bet him last week.
I knew
week.
He was on it. I was trying. Right? I knew that was going to get your blood pressure up. So,
and again, there's these wonderful golfers that I feel like they're coming into a moment, and I felt like there would be something weird about Wyndham that would allow Cam to kind of not have to think about winning, right? And it did. It worked out. We played three different rounds on a Sunday. They finished the second round. They played the third round. They played the fourth round. They didn't repair. When you don't repair, that's like a huge asset for these guys that have never won before. Just keep going, right? Like, just keep playing. Grab your lunch at the turn and go, right? It's like college golf all over again. And I thought we had an opportunity there. And in the final round, and he was fine in the third round. In the final round, that guy was off the planet. He made it look like he didn't want to be there. And, I can't go back there on him.
Can't go back. Yeah, I get it.
I mean, could he do it this week? Sure. And will I miss out? I won't miss a thing. I won't. I'll just be like, whatever, dude. Good for you. Because, I mean, after last week, he had it right in front of him. You know, I don't begrudge Kuchar for not finishing that off. He's 46 years old. They made him play 36 holes in a day. Well, maybe not 35 and a half, whatever. Like, jokes aside, but like, you know, like Cam Young's in the prime of his career, man. That guy should have been able to tear that place up all day long. Ball in hand, the way he drives it. That was the whole reason we bet him. And then now, oh man, it just was so disappointing. And it wasn't like on the last hole. It was the whole last round. And anyway, it just, I take stabs every once in a while at certain guys. I'm reminded why you say, like, I never thought I'd hear that name coming out of your lips. And then, you know, you're right. It won't be Cam Young for a while.
I mean, it just, you know, it is what it is. I mean, gosh, if the guy could just string some putts together. I mean, really. I mean, if he could just.
It would help.
Put some putts together and get it plus 0.5, not negative 3.2. I mean, he'd be right there. Unbelievable.
Yeah, we need a negative 3.2 from Scotty.
Cameron Young, he's a top 20 here. Cameron Young's top 20 here. I like Sepp. I like Sepp Straka here. You talk about guys that are not you talk about guys that have that demeanor to go up against, you know, tough golf course, go up against Scotty and Xander. Is Sepp their player? No, but I don't think to me, when Sepp's in the hunt though, he's not scared. I mean, he's a guy that can go head to head. He's won before.
Yeah.
You look at him right now. He was 22nd at the Open. Of course, he was fifth at Memorials, fifth at Charles Schwab, and he's had some really good finishes. Drives it well. Iron game, check. Short game. Yeah, he's not one of the elite short game players, but I'm okay with that here. And it can be a little bit of an inconsistent putter. I mean, he can go plus 2.5, plus 3, and then he can go -1, -2. So I like Mr. Straka here. And I took it down there in that 70-1 range.
I agree. I mean,
sorry, wrong button.
Actually, you know what? That reminds me.
Let's hear from our sponsor. If you're like most golfers, you blame yourself when you miss a short putt. So after you hold back the urge to throw your putter in the lake, don't do that. You try to fix your putting stroke. But how long does that last? 1 week, one round, one hole? There's a company called Lab Golf that doesn't think you should be blaming yourself. That's because all putters have this thing called torque, which means the putter face is trying to twist during stroke. So you grip it like a snake. What Lab Golf did is they figured out how to make putters with no torque. They call it lie angle balance. And you have to feel it to believe it. I did. The Lab Golf putter, you don't have to use a funny putting grip to try to keep the face square. You can putt it any way you want because Lab Golf putter stays perfectly square by itself. It's effortless. To see how much easier putting can be, head over to labgolf.com. All right. So, you know, the last two winners of this tournament were using that putter. So just anyway, you know, just a nice little side note. But we were talking. I like Sepp. I think it's a good spot for him.
Yeah. I mean, Sepp, you look at his career resume, he'd be like a 100-1 guy here. But he's so good on this style of golf course with Zoysia grass fairways. He gets elevated down to 70, and I still think he's a good value there. I think he could win. I mean, he's proven he could play here, and he's such a good ball striker. This is a ball striker's paradise. I mean, if you're really good with your 9-iron, you're going to have, like, an infinite number of birdie chances. And Sepp's that guy. It's good. I like him.
What about anybody else in the middle? Drive the ship. You know, there's Aaron Rye coming off the win last week. Guy can flush it.
Oof. Yeah.
Got Sam Burns in that range. Bezedenhut, he's...
The guy who has had some, a little bit of a roller coaster history here, but he's got a bunch of top fives, and that's Adam Scott. Remember, he was runner up at Scottish, made another nice run at the British, and then we haven't seen him for a while, right? So it's not like that went away. He's just been resting. So I think, you remember, Adam Scott didn't make the playoffs last year. Here's another guy that's motivated, that's up there now. And I think Adam Scott on this golf course in that range is somebody that, you know, could make a move like a Sepp Straka for sure. So when you're asking me to go in that range there, I think there's something there, you know. But and I think in this field, you're going to work really hard to get past Sepp at 70 to find someone you can really convince yourself that let's just say, perfect scenario. Xander, Rory, and Scotty are nowhere near the top of the leaderboard on Sunday.
Yeah.
And you know, you are bent on and you got a chance. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, like, I think you're having a really tough time getting past 70-1 at SEP in this level of elite field, especially with, you know, these guys don't bring it up, man. But when they know it's a $20 million purse, water finds its level. I mean, it's been happening all year. You know, like, how many random Kirk Kitayamas have we had this year?
Not many.
You know, we don't get me wrong. We did when it's like the Amex.
Yeah.
Right. It's like 1.4 million or it's Aaron Rye at the Wyndham. But like when the purses went up this year, I mean, look at your four major winners.
Yep. Big time. So,
yeah.
And Americans.
Man, you count the Olympics. That's what we got to go back to Rahm at the Masters. Right. So that's what, eight in a row. Elite events.
I mean, who's more likely to take the next step as a young player? Davis Thompson, Akshay Bhatia at this place. Ooh,
at this place. That's a great question. Oh, I love that question because I'm making some DFS plays and some other moves with Davis Thompson this week. You and I had this conversation in the fall. I kept betting him. It didn't work out. It finally worked out at the John Deere. But yep. I think that guy is getting back to the point where he believes he was the number one amateur player in the world. And he plays that nice fade off the tee. And we know that this place definitely, you know, favors a fader.
Checks out on Bermuda.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And his whole thing that when he got bad over the winter and into the spring, it was the driver, but he's got that driver figured out.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
And I think that he could definitely be one of those like auto top 25 guys like every week. And then when the putter spikes, watch out, because then he's going to do John Deere type thing. So, man, but that's like who?
I'll tell you, the thing that's surprised me because
two wins are.
Yeah, he does. The thing that surprised me about Davis this year, and I'm not surprised that he won. We talked about it and waited for it and bet it. And he's going to win again. I mean, he is that level of player. His short game, I'll tell you, that short game has surprised the daylights out of me. He has been terrific around the greens. That's probably not going to be as important maybe this week, but I think that's the part of the game that's really impressed me. And when his putting does go as good as he can hit it, and Wyndham or Davis Thompson. I would not be surprised to see Davis up there here this week. Would not be surprised.
Playing good golf. Week.
I would probably give Davis the nod here on Bermuda.
Oh, yeah. And Akshay missed the cut again last week. Yeah. And, you know, that was obviously in Bermuda Fest as well.
Could we see – it's got to happen at some point, doesn't it, with Wyndham Clark? It's got to – there's got to be a little bit of a resurgence with Wyndham. We've seen – a little bit at times over his last three events.
Man, you're giving me
here.
You're bringing up Cam Young and now Wyndham here. You give me PTSD. I mean, I bet Wyndham here last year and he came in like DFL. He was like 66th in the 70 man field. I think he shot like 80 in the first. I can't remember what it was. I'm trying to black it out, but
so we're gonna wait another week on Wyndham.
Yeah, I mean, I can't think he's coming back here with good thoughts. And that means a lot to golfers. I mean, golf's hard, you know, like, oh man, just ask Max Benjamin, you know,
the only other name down here. And there's Will, he's down there at 100. Oh. And he's won here before. Minwoo Lee's not playing his best. We know Max Homa has been struggling some. There's Max Gracerman 100-1. Wow. I mean, what a just bizarre Sunday that was watching him. Works with Jeff Smith, who I'm trying to get on the pod tomorrow. And love to catch up with Jeff on Max. And then also Davis Riley, who right now is 71 and is looking to get in. Or I'm sorry, he's 51, looking to get into the top 50. But the only other name down there, you know, he's sitting right there next to Will. And you mentioned him in the past. I mean, actually two names that have kind of been, you know, have popped up as of late. And that's Eric Cole and Maverick McNealy. But can those two go head to head with, you know, Scotty and Xander? Obviously, but would those be two guys that, as you kind of look down the board, that maybe you would give the nod over some of these other names, maybe top 20 potentially?
I was asked a question who I thought in the 70 to 50 range could make it. to the next week. Mm-hmm. And the two guys that I picked, one was Ben Griffin and the other one was Eric Cole. I think Eric Cole is going to go on one of those little like top 10 streaks again. He finished T7 at Wyndham and he had a very nice weekend. He figured some things out as the, mm-hmm. as the tournament went on. So on Bermuda grass, on a golf course where you don't need driver, you're going to play a lot of positional shots. This definitely fits his wheelhouse, hitting a lot of approach shots around 150 yards. Don't know much about Matt McNealy making a big move or whatever, but those are the two guys I chose that I thought would jump in. I'm surprised you haven't brought up your boy Cam yet, though.
Yeah, well,
because he was good here last year, and it's a good course fit for him.
Sorry, are you suggesting that I should bet him to win or top 20?
Oh, well, I think top 20 makes a whole lot of sense, but I just – there's certain guys that you and I always gravitate towards, and that's as we go down the board, and that's one of your guys, and with good reason, because the guy's an elite golfer. Guy played on a President's Cup team. He's good, you know, 2-time winner on the PGA Tour. He's pretty good. Yeah.
All right. Well, I haven't bet it yet, but
I'm not trying to talk you into anything. I'm just saying.
I might. Yeah. This is
last year. He needed to play really well. He finished sixth. He jumped into the top 50. Gave himself signature status. Who knows?
Eric Cole's 54 right now, so he's got to move up
four
spots to get into that 50. Yeah. Harris English right now, 48. He's down there in that 125, as is McCarthy. So Cam Davis, 41. He's probably safe. Moved up three spots last week. Tom Kim at 40. So.
Oh, no. I would say the only guys that are truly in question would be like 49 and 50. 48, 49 and 50, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Jake Knapp, 47. Yeah. God, you forget about the year that Steven Yeager had. 31. Great year. Steven Yeager.
So.
It's one of those weeks. You got some of these guys in the top 30 that are secure that, you know, how do they play? Is it just another week or do you try to take on a little more risk when you think you can and, you know, you're kind of safe. I mean, they ought to get to Atlanta and let Scotty finish. They ought to let Scotty start at 18 under and Xander at 16 and then the next one's at 8. I mean, that's really what they should do. I mean, you want to talk about the two best players.
It does seem a lot like other sports in that if you were that, what, was 07 Patriots that were – you know,
undefeated,
17 and 0, 18 and 0, and they lost one game, they're done. Yeah. Right. And Scotty is so far ahead of everyone, but yet he's only going to get a 2-stroke advantage at East Lake. Yeah. It, to me, that's much more like, you've had a great regular season, but you know, it's the NCAA tournament. Oh yeah. You're number one in the country. That's great. You know,
and Xander's going to be at 8 and Xander loves East Lake. So that's going to be a dogfight. At
7 trips, like 1 win and like 6 top fives. Yeah, he likes East Lake. Come on.
All right.
And they just redid East Lake too. Well, parts of it. Andrew Green. So it should be cool to go see. I'm excited for the next 3 weeks.
I think I'm going to bet Sungjae.
I think it makes sense.
I think I'm going to bet Sungjae.
Bermuda.
Yeah.
A lot of Honda comparisons. Guy keeps the ball in play. Yeah.
Yeah, kind of similar to I like him. I'm adding him to the card. I like Sepp. I like Xander over Scotty here. And I top 20s. I like Cole. You talked me into Cam Davis. The one that I scares the daylight. If Ludvig can get that driver and keep it in play here a little bit, I don't know. I think we're going to hear from Ludvig at some point here during the playoffs. We're going to hear from him. I mean,
it'll be interesting if Ludvig gets into a Sunday against Xander or Scotty, and Ludvig doesn't do what he's been doing on Sundays.
That'd be great.
The Sunday thing is scary. I mean, he doesn't have a round below par on a Sunday since the Masters. It's not good.
Yeah.
Not good.
All right. Yeah. Good stuff. Go to, Go back outside and get some sunshine.
Let's do it.
Keith Stewart, I read the line. He'll be on the road next week coming to us from Colorado. Safe travel.
Castle Pines, yeah. All right.